Well, good morning, everybody. Happy welcome to all, especially, I know we have a few visitors, and a very happy welcome to our prodigal seminarian who has returned. Jose, we're very happy that you're here, and Jose, this is the weekend between J-term and the beginning of their spring semester in the seminary, so we're fortunate that Jose came to be with us this weekend. This is the first Word of God Sunday in the history of the church. Pope Francis a few months ago announced that from now on, every third Sunday of ordinary time will be called Word of God Sunday, where we will pay particular homage to the Word of God, where we will kind of contemplate a little bit more and the central place that the Word of God has to have in our lives. And I was just kind of thinking about, I'll start you off with some jokes. Okay, there's some good ones. Who was the shortest man in the Bible? Nehemiah. What time of day was Adam created? A little before Eve. What was the first medicine in the Bible? It was when God gave Moses two tablets. Okay, I'll stop. I'll have mercy. Anyway, so like, but I was thinking about, there's a beautiful old phrase, lex orandi, lex credendi, which means how we worship is what we believe. I was thinking about, at Mass, what do we do with the scriptures, especially the gospel time? And like, what does that have to teach us about how we should approach the Word of God in our own Bibles, in our own houses? And what does that have to do with like how we are to share it, the gospel procession? It all starts when we all stand up for the Alleluia. We all are put onto our feet to listen to the Word of God. And I think that's important, right? That like, we are supposed to stand. The gospel, the Word of God, puts us on our feet. In other words, it calls us to action. The early priest, Father James, one of the apostles, he wrote the letter of James. He said, be doers of the word, not just hearers only. Which is to say, we are to listen to God's word by reading our Bibles daily and then putting it into practice. And the Word of God puts us onto our feet. It calls us to action. So we stand. Then there's a procession. The deacon or the priest in his absence carries the Word of God from the altar to the place of proclamation. This is an important reality because the Word of God is meant to be with us in the procession of life. The Word of God also, by the way, at the beginning of Mass, the deacon carries the gospel in the procession. But God's Word is our guide, our map, as we process through life. We look to the Lord's Word whenever we are lost. And I'm sure that you all, just like I have been lost many times in my own life, we simply turn to our Bibles. We turn to God's Word to find direction. The gospel procession happens with candles. We had four of them today. We always have gospel candles. The servers and bring them, accompany the Word of God. Why? Two reasons. Number one, the gospel candles remind us that God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our eyes. That's Psalm 110. That God's Word lights our way. Holy smokes, there's a lot of darkness in our lives. There's a lot of darkness in the world. And if we're not careful, we will be overcome by the darkness. But God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. And it shows us the way. It shows us how to get where we need to be going. And the second reason is what we heard in our gospel, that in the first reading as well, that there's a lot of gloom and there's a lot of people who need to hear this message. who need to hear the words of Jesus and will rejoice, as our first read said, will rejoice upon hearing it, that the light of this word will cast the darkness aside. But you and I are the ones to proclaim it. St. Francis of Assisi never actually said, preach the word at all times, if necessary, use words. We are to live good lives and be nice and friendly, but we got to talk about it too. We have got to put words onto our faith. And so you, well, what better words to use than the good Lord himself? So they got the candles. Then we have the incense. We always incense the word of God. Why? Because we reverence the most important things with incense, the altar, the Eucharist, the word of God. We reverence the word with incense. But there's also a sense in which, like, the incense is a symbol of our prayers, according to the scriptures. And so wherever the word of God is, like when it's in your house on the bookshelf, it should be surrounded by our prayers. Just like this word of God up here is surrounded by the incense, surrounded by our prayers going up to heaven. And that whenever we have a Bible, we had better be using it and praying with it. And there's also a sense in which, like, the incense is, we approach here, we approach the word of God, we honor it, even though we will never understand it fully on this side of heaven. And that's okay. That there's a mystery in it, that we stand in awe of the mystery. And that's okay that it's a mystery. It's a good thing that we don't understand everything in here. It's okay. There's a sense in which we still honor it. The Bible is less a thing to be understood and verified and criticized and approached with a critical eye, and more a thing to be loved. That we come and we incense, we pay homage, we pay our prayers, surrounded with our prayers, this, and we don't need to understand it all. I probably only understand about 5% of what's in here, and that's okay. We love it. The priest then bows, or the deacon bows, and in front of the word of God. That's important. We are all meant to bow as we approach God's word. That we realize that the logic of the Bible, the logic of God's word, is higher than ours. And that we may not understand it all, and that's okay, but we bow and we say, Lord, your words, I want that your words transform my life. I come before your word humbly with a spirit of humility, knowing that you have a better idea than I do and that I need to hear your words in order to inform how I am to live. That we approach God's word bowing with great humility. Then we make the sign. Remember this? We do this before the gospel. May the word of God be in my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. That we invite the very words we are about to hear into our thoughts and into our mouths, that we might speak them and echo them, and into our hearts, that we might love them more and love God more through them. That we pray that the word of God will saturate us like a sponge, that it will come into us and change every thought we have, and every word we speak, and every feeling that we have, that God's, we want that his word becomes so much a part of us that it's inseparable from us. And like, dude, that's what this is a reminder of. May the word of God be in my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. Then we have the proclamation of the word. A couple things on that. You notice that the first and second reading and the psalm, doesn't have to be a priest to do that. A lot of times people say, oh, that's Father's job to share the good news with the world that's gone to hell in a handbasket. That's Father will take care of. Well, I would do my best, but it takes all of us. We're all called to share the word of God. In our gospel today, we hear that Jesus is proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, teaching. But then he appoints, he calls these other people into the same ministry of preaching And everybody, we're all baptized priest, prophet, king, which is to say we are to share the word of God. If we never talk about God, there's a problem. And if we never read in his word, we don't even know what to say. But we ought to read this and let it take part root in us, and then we share it. We proclaim it by how we live, by what we speak, by what we do. In the old form of the Mass, that what we used to call is the Trinity Mass, now it's the extraordinary form, the priest would clutch the book. I always thought that the priest was supposed to be like this. The priest would clutch the book. And I think that's beautiful too, because we get lost a lot. There's a lot of ups and downs in life, and we hold firm to the good book. We hold firm to this scripture, knowing that it will sustain us in difficult times and it will get us through. The end of the gospel, the priest or the deacon kisses it, which is the most important thing. If you didn't listen to anything else I just said, listen to this. We must love these words. We must love them. Jesus never tells us we have to understand them all or verify them all. We must love them. And we put our lips to the word of God in order that we might be transformed by it and ultimately saved by it. The word of God is so important. There's a good phrase, no Bible, no breakfast, no Bible, no bed, which means that you don't eat breakfast until you read a word from God. Now, if you're like me, you don't eat breakfast, you drink coffee. So that doesn't fall off the tongue so easily. But no Bible, no coffee, no Bible, no bed. I'm not asking you to read a whole chapter. Start with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Just read one sentence before you have a spoonful of Cheerios or a sip of coffee. And you'll be surprised at how much one sentence can feed your soul and direct your life. One sentence, one verse. Have the Bible on the table. No Bible, no breakfast, and then no Bible, no bed. We don't go to bed until we have read another verse of the good book. And we have allowed it to something to meditate on over the nighttime. St. Irenaeus is our saint this week. He had a lot to do with the scriptures and how we know them. But he said, the glory of God is man fully alive. And these are the words of life. That if we want to live well and live fully lively lives and live as God intended us to live, we better read the Bible and pray with the Bible and be transformed by the Bible. So I'm telling you that imagine the person that loved you the most wrote you a book and you never read it. Imagine if it's your kid, a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife or a grandparent. They went to the trouble of writing a book and then you put it on a shelf and it just got dusty and you never bothered to open it. I'm here to tell you the one that loves you the most wrote you a book and he wants you to read it. It will benefit not only you, it will benefit your family, it will benefit your church, it will benefit the whole bloody world. And take this Bible, hold on to it, kiss it, honor it, read it, pray with it, and allow it to make you a saint. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.